The day of judgment. You know, many people will live an entire life and never go before a judge. They will never go in a court of law to be judged about anything they've done. But there will come a day when every one of us will face a judge. And that judge will be Jesus Christ our Lord that died on the cross for our sins. The one that lived on this earth without sin. The one that lived on this earth was hated, despised, rejected. He was beaten, and he was finally killed. And someday, my friends, you will face him. And the Bible says that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. But let me warn you tonight, it won't be for your salvation on that day when you confess and when your knees bow. It will be too late then. There will not be another life. There will not be another time. There will not be 1,000 years. There will not be a month, a week, or a day to get ready when your life is over. That will be it. That will be judgment. There will be only 2 sentences given at that time. And 1 sentence will be to be with our Lord forever. The saved of all ages, be there forever with them. The other sentence will be eternal damnation, where there will be no rest. There will be no getting out. There will be no end to it. It is such a serious and sobering matter to think about that someday we will face that. We will see our Lord. And we will receive a sentence on that day. The Bible talks so much about this. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You know, many times people's good deeds go unknown and go unnoticed. Many times people's bad deeds also go unknown and unnoticed. But that day it will be revealed. It will not be hid anymore. There will be no exceptions. There will be no exceptions. There will be no absentees. From every walk of life, from every generation, we will go side by side to that place. And then we will be separated forever. What a scene, what a day that will be. What a day. What a gathering that will be. These we denied in this life will be exposed then. We may have denied it. We may have said we didn't do it. Ecclesiastes 12 says, "God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." There will be a day of reckoning, which all men will be judged accurately, and we'll be judged fairly. We will not escape. Things that we've forgotten about we've done. Things that we've said that we've forgotten we said. We'll be judged on a day for all those things if we don't have forgiveness for them. In fact, Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You can be assured tonight what you sow is going to come up. And you're going to reap it someday. You may go through this whole life and never reap for the deeds you do. But that day will be a day of reckoning. That day will be a day of rewarding, whether it's for good or whether it's bad. The righteous will have a crown of righteousness awaiting him at that day. The wicked will have everlasting punishment. Jesus talked about that day. He warned us of that day. In fact, in the Bible, over 5 times more is said about hell than about heaven. And you know who said more than any other writer? Jesus Christ said more than any other writer. He said more. Because he warns us about eternal punishment. He warns us all about that we can't be lost. And even Paul talked about his own life. He said, "I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I afflict others, I myself should be a castaway." That's frightening. To think about the Apostle Paul and what he went through and what he did. But he realized also he was humble enough to know that he could be lost. And then I realized I can be lost. And I know tonight, and we all know that everyone here is a potential inhabitant of hell. But also on the bright side of that, we're all potential inhabitants of heaven. Do you plan to go there? You will face judgment. The Bible says in Matthew 25 and 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. People shall be separated. People shall be divided. Nobody can speak for you. Nobody can take your place. Nobody but you will speak for yourself. Another occasion, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then shall He reward every man according to his works." Matthew 16 and 27. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning of verse 20, Jesus upbraided cities here. There's so much had been done there that they still did not believe. And He says in Matthew 11 and verse 20, "Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not." Can you imagine us in America, where the mighty works of God are done every day? Even now, you're enjoying the mighty works of God. The blessings of God has been showered down on me and you. Can you imagine if we don't repent? What's going to happen to us? He said, "These do not repent." In verse 21, "Woe to thee, Chorazin! Woe to thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works were done, which were done in you, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Sodom. That's right. The city you know about so well. Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, the works that God does for us today. All the blessings He bestows on us every day. Remember hearing a brother say years ago that song, "Shower the Blessing." He said, "I don't like to sing that song." See, God is doing so much to us. He said, "We're asking for showers." He says, "Raindrops of mercy," the song says, "upon our lives, but the showers we clean." We want more and more blessings. Is that the way we are? Do we ever thank God for what we have got? Or do I always want to gimme all the time from God? Do we ever want to pay back anything or give back anything? Do we ever thank God for what He's done for us and given us? Can you imagine on judgment day when I answer for my life? You remember reading over in James the 3rd chapter? And there it talks about preachers at first verse. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." You know, Brother Harris spoke about this at church camp this year. It's the very thing right here about preachers. James 3 and 1, think about it. The greater condemnation. Judgment is coming, my friends. Judgment is coming for all of us. Disciples talked about this day of reckoning. They pointed to it also when Peter preached to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. In verse 42, he said there, "He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead." Peter says, "Jesus Christ told us to preach this." Paul emphasized that on Mars Hill in Athens when he said in Acts 17, "Because He hath appointed the day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained." He has appointed the day in which He will judge the world. Paul told young Timothy, "I charge thee, therefore, for God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing, He shall judge you." Jesus Christ shall judge you, my friends. It will not be God who will be the judge. He will not be the judge. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, will be your judge. "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ," Paul said in Romans 14 and 10. Well, then the man wants to die after this is judgment. Hebrews 9 and 24. That day is coming. It may be much sooner than you think. Oh, what a day that will be. Christ will come back with His mighty angels. He says, marvel not at this in John 5, in which, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. All that are in the grave shall hear His voice, they shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Where are you going to get 1,000 years in that thing? Where are you going to sandwich in 1,000 years? It cannot be. The secrets is shown. The dead are raised, the dead face the judgment, and they go their separate ways. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't the joy of thy Lord, Matthew 25 says. That's what you will hear on that day if you've served the Lord during this life. But oh my friends, some of the times things get in our way. That day seems a long way off, don't it? That day seems like it will never come. But my friends, it is fast approaching. You know the older I get, it seems like the past of the years go by. It seems like only yesterday in a way, when I was 21 years old. And Sue's stepdaddy told me that night when Sue cooked a birthday supper for me, and her mom and her stepdaddy was there. And he told me that night I was 21. He says, Wilbur, the years will pass more swift, will pass faster now, I believe is the way he said it. It's been a long time ago. I'm 67 years old. Many years ago that was. And they'd go by. The Bible talks about 3 score and 10, which is 70. A score is 20. 3 and 20 is 60. 10 more is 70. It also talks about you may live to be 80. Some of you are that age here, and even older than life that are here. And we know life is not going to go on. We know that death is coming. And we know that judgment is surely waiting. We must be prepared for that day. The Bible says, depart from me in Matthew 25. You cursed in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know hell is not even made for you. It's not made for me. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. But people will go there. Let me ask you a question. Do we face the truth about this? You know, friends, I think one of the hardest things that faces a gospel minister is to get people to actually face the truth about the judgment. We're just complacent about it. Would you not agree? We don't like to think about it. We don't like to think about a time when we will be judged and separated from each other. We live as though that day will never come. You know, but Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:17, God shall judge the wicked and the righteous. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. There's a time that will come for every purpose, for every work. He also painted a sad picture, Solomon did, in Ecclesiastes 8. And so I saw the wicked, buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had done. This is also vanity. They have so done, this is vanity. But listen to this last part of this, this 11th verse. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. It seems that is true today. Oh yes, it is. People get in prison and stay there for years and years before they're executed when they have the death sentence. And that's what he talked about years ago. He said, people don't receive it speedily. And so they think, it's not going to happen. You might remember also in the book of Peter. Peter talked about this very same thing in 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 3 he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. And saying, there is the promise of his coming. But since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And we see that even today. The seasons come, the seasons go, year in, year out, year in, year out. We know about people that's lived long ago. We talk about the future. And so things stay like they are. Doesn't it? We're still here. We're still living. And I just sinned. I didn't drop dead. So I got by with it. No, you didn't get by. You know, I sung a song when I was a kid. God keeps a record of the life I'm living down here. He knows all about me, my troubles, my trials, my fear. God keeps a record. Peter goes on to say in 2 Peter chapter 3, where is the promise of his coming? For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and they're standing out of the water and in the water. Where by the world then that then was being overflowed with water perished, talking about the flood. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And when's a thief gave you advance notice he's coming, or she's coming? It doesn't do it. It doesn't happen. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works of the man shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, brethren, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Oh, that's a strong word. Are you diligent? How diligent are you? Sometimes you fit God in your spare time. You do that. You try to squeeze him in sometimes. You really ain't got much time for it. You just try to, you know, give him a little time sometimes. You don't want to feel too bad about yourself, do you? Is that right? Diligent. How diligent are you? Friends, this is sick. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. What's he going to say to you? You know, it's sad. People believe today they're saved. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7, many will say to me in that day, listen to this, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name, cast out devils. In thy name, done many wonderful works. People will argue on judgment day. Do you know that? That's right. Many, he said, will say to me in that day. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. That day of reckoning will disclose all hypocrites and all false religionists. That's right. It will show everybody exactly where they stand. What a pity. What a pity that many religious people will be turned away. It's sad, isn't it? It's very sad to think about people. They'll say, we've done many wonderful works. We've worked for you, Lord. All things will be revealed. Did you realize that even your speech will be examined and reckoned with? Even your speech, even your words will be examined. It will be reckoned with. Jesus says in Matthew 12:36 that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Do you ever think about that? When you're talking to somebody for a long time, you get on the telephone for an hour or so, have you ever thought about the idle words you're saying? Have you ever thought about when you meet somebody and you just have these long conversations, what you're saying, these idle words? He says, every idle word that men shall speak. And he goes on to say in verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, Paul says, study to be quiet. You ever wonder what that means? Study to be quiet. You got to think about being quiet. Some people do. Some people are just big talkers. Some people are quiet people. That's a blessing. Oh, it is a blessing. Study to be quiet. Every idle word you speak, you're going to give an account to it. You say, well, I don't like it. Well, no matter if you like it or not, you're going to face it. It's just the fact of the matter. We're going to face this, brother. This is not put in here to fill up space. It is put in here to warn us about our speech, about what we say, to be careful of what we say. Even those that make long, pretentious prayers. You ever do that? You ever make a prayer to impress somebody? Did you know the Bible speaks against that? In the book of Matthew, chapter 23. He said, for pretentious make long prayers, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. They would stand praying in the street corners. They would wear these long thorn robes. They would have these little boxes of scripture about their head and about their wrist. They'd come out in public like that. They left the uppermost seat. They like to be called Master, Master. Oh, Jesus. They were religious people. Oh, he condemned them so strongly. In fact, you remember he said, when thou sayest, go into thy closet, shut the door. You ever wonder about that? He's talking about don't do it for a show. That's what he's talking about. He said, you talk to your master. He's in secret. He will reward thee openly. You remember that story? Oh, yeah. Your idle words, your long pretentious prayers. A cloak of religious zeal without hide our souls and our Lord. That's right. We cannot covet by this religious zeal that we might have. He said in Luke 12, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Now, those little conversations you've got on the telephone and made with people, you thought no one was listening in. No one knew. They showed you what's on television in the quiet of your home when no one was there as you watch and listen and listened. Oh, yeah. That's right. All these things that were hidden. Those movies you've been to, even this rated in America, they rate them. Tell you what it is. PG. So what you going to do with a PG movie? So they're going to tell you on the screen the PG's coming up. So cover your kids' eyes, and I guess daddy's got to cover his eyes, and mom's got to stop his ears. What is this? And you going to go to that? You going to spend your money for that? And hear those words and see those things and support those people that play on that screen, they believe anything goes, so to speak. Oh, brother. You ever read on Revelation what it says about whoremongers? If that's not whoremonger, I don't know what it is. That's a monster. Read it sometime. Whoremongers, idolaters. And you know the sad part of this all is? You know, you say, well, I'm not up on the screen doing it. You ever read Romans, the first chapter? And it says about all those things that people do. And I mean, it has a whole laundry list of things. About homosexuals, about haters of God, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, proud, boasters. Look on down to the end of that chapter, Romans 1. He said, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, look at the last line, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now let me tell you something. You may go to that movie, or you may watch that program, whatever it is, you may not take it all, any kind of physical part of that, but you go and you spend your money and your time, if you're not taking pleasure in it, I don't know what it is. You tell me what it is, that's not pleasure in it. It's like gossip. You may listen to somebody gossip. You may not never say a word, but you listen to their gossip. You're taking pleasure in what they're saying, brethren. And it's going to come about this, it's all going to be revealed. It's going to be exposed. It's going to be made known. You may have hid it from your family, from your wife, and from your husband, and from your kids. It's going to be made known someday. Oh, it's coming to light. What she has spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which she has spoken in the closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Luke 12:2-3. You can't put blindness on the eyes of the Lord. And one of my grandkids, and I've forgotten which one, said to me one time, you mean, Papa, God can see right through that roof. That's right. Hey, don't stop him. He can see in the night. He can see in the day. He sees all the time. In fact, you know something else? He even knows the intentions of your heart. Oh, yes, he does. The thoughts and intentions of your heart. He knows those things that's going to be brought to light someday. What are your intentions? What are your thoughts? In Romans 2, he says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God is delivered to every man according to his deeds, that day will come unexpectedly. That settles have come out. People have said, you know, end of time is coming, so and so and so and so. What had happened back in 1977? Was that not true? I'm not sure that's true or not. But I think somebody said 7777. And I think somebody said 6666. You know, it was coming. And I even think this year, somebody said 6060606. And you've heard about it before. But did you know that Jesus Christ does not know? He said he didn't know. Of that day and hour, knoweth no man, nor not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Only God knows. Only God knows. Come as a thief in the night. Peter said it. Paul said it. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Oh, we make all kinds of provisions for certain days, don't we? We know what April the 15th means. We know when the first of the month we got to make the mortgage and pay the car payment. We know when we get up there in Walmart and go to check out. We know we're supposed to pay. We know about all these things. We understand all these things. We don't quibble about it whatsoever. But what about Judgment Day? In Revelation 22. Revelation 22 beginning in verse 10. I'll give you time to turn. Last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 22 and verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. As his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, that's what I thought about a while ago, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. He don't say anything about black lies or white lies, he says lies. You exaggerate, you lie. That's right. Tell it like it is. If you don't know exactly how it is, tell them, this is the way I remember this. Be careful of your words. Be careful. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to test out of you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that is here say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever willeth and take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man, if he hath the words of the prophet of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the things that are written, God shall add unto him the things that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. It's coming to us. You going to make it? And let's look at three things. I want to ask you some questions, and I want you to please answer them the best you can, to your ability, about your own self. And let me ask you this. Take it very personal, okay? You know, sometimes you go to church, you think about somebody else needs this or whatever. Take it very personal. Take God's word very personal. Because it's for me, it's for you, it's for all of us. I'd like you to ask them to yourself and think about what I'm asking you. Because I believe that we can determine by these three things where we're going to spend eternity. What do you give your time? What do you give your time to? How many of us know how we spend our time? I think we all do, don't we? Those of us that all want to know that. We often hear the excuse, I don't have time. But friends, let me say to you tonight, we always have time for the things we consider important. Don't we? I find time for it. I got to get up early, stay up late, whatever it is. If it's important enough, I find time for it. We're all going to certainly find time to die. Oh, yes, we are. Redeeming the time, the Bible says, because the days are evil. What is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. How you spend your time will greatly determine where you're going, where you're going to spend eternity. How you spend your time. Number two, what do you think about most? What's on your mind? You know, sometimes I can't sleep good at night. Because my mind won't rest. I get down at that am, I get thinking. What do you think about most? When you're driving your car, what's on your mind most? You know, look, in Proverbs 23 and 7, what it says there, for as you thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think, so you are. As you think, that's what you are. What's in your mind? What is on your mind? What do you think about most? And we're talking about your final destination here. We're going to determine tonight, hopefully, where you will spend eternity. What do you think about most? It is difficult to know the direction of a person's life when you look honestly at their thoughts. We don't know each other's thoughts, do we? But I know my thoughts. And you know your thoughts. What are things you think about most? Meditation, to me, is so important for our Christian life. When you study your Bible, and then you meditate on it, it is so enriching to think about what you studied, to think about what you read, to think about what the Bible says, to meditate on these things. You know, Paul told Timothy that. He says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. And he uses the word W-H-O-L-L-Y. Which means completely to them. For so doing, I said, both save thyself and then to hear thee. Meditate on these things, Timothy. Give yourself completely to them. Because if you do, you're going to be saved. You're going to save people. Save people, other people also, because of your dedication to the truth. Number three, how you spend your money. How do you spend your money? Do you remember reading the other night, those of you that are here? It talks about the sins of Sodom. Remember that? Talked about four things they did. Had abundance of idleness, fullness of bread. Remember the last one it said? They did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Remember that? Pride was one of them. Abundance of idleness, bonus of bread, and you didn't spend them half the poor and needy. Now, I know I said a lot about that here and also at Mount Carmel. Brethren, we have a golden opportunity here. Because we got brethren that go to places that need so much our financial support. And if you believe that you're supposed to let up in the treasury and buy CDs with it, a favor for a rainy day, it's not in the book. Oh, no, it's not in the book. Oh, no, it's not. And you brethren have got a tremendous responsibility to use that money that people give. They've been prospered. You do. Oh, there's something that's poor and in need. You say, well, how don't they get a job? Well, they can't get a job. There's not jobs available. You and I have an opportunity to help those people. Oh, yes, we do. You think you're not going to have to call someday if you don't do that? What if you were on the other side of that? What if they were to have it and you didn't have it and they would send it to you and let you starve and let your kids starve? What would you do? You couldn't do anything because you couldn't find a job. You couldn't raise the food. It wasn't available to be done, to be had. Do you give as you've been prospered? Do you really? How do you spend your money? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. He says, those that will be rich fall into temptation and a trap. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown in destruction and perdition. They pierce themselves, he said, through with many sorrows. Who? Those that would be rich. What do you give your money for? You read the story the other night about that rich father. He didn't have anywhere to put his goods. And sometimes we may have reached the same dilemma. We don't have room to store what we've got. And so we'll build greater. God called him a fool. He said, this night you're going to die. And all these things you stored up, all these things you put back, who's going to get them? Friends, are we sending to the head? What do we spend our money for? Final destination. Look at it. Look at it carefully. Think about it. What do you give? How do you use your time? What do you think about most? And how do you spend your money? What did we read over in Revelation just then? Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Yes, my friends, it won't matter what I think of you or you think of me on that day. It won't matter what God knows of you and knows of me. That's right. My mother won't speak for me on that day. My daddy won't speak for me. Sue won't speak for me. My kids won't speak for me. My grandkids won't speak for me. I will speak for myself. And you will speak for yourself. Are you ready to meet Him? Are you ready to meet judgment? Your funeral flowers may be blooming right now. Oh, yes. We don't know when it's coming, but we know it's coming. And I beg you tonight, if you're not ready, to do what you've got to do to be ready. What you've got to walk away from tonight, you walk away from it. You turn your back on it. You never go back to that same way of living again when you're singing. Never go back. Determine at this time, at this moment, to walk away from it. Whatever it is. If you're living in adultery, if you're living in fornication, if you're lying, if you're stealing, if you're cheating, whatever it is about your life, determine now to not live that way anymore. Come tonight to be baptized without a member of the church. Believing on Jesus Christ, confessing your belief publicly by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful way to, what a wonderful word to say that. That's easy, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is, because we believe real strong inside us that belief in Jesus Christ. Very fiber of our body, isn't it? Oh, yes. Confess that belief tonight. Repent of your sins. You can be baptized tonight. If you're a member of the church, perhaps you have not lived as you should, please come back tonight and confess false. Please come back tonight and ask forgiveness. Won't you do that as we stand and as we sing? Won't you come?